Welcome to Head On, a podcast from Neuroscience Research Australia's Evidence Libraries.
Hello, I'm Dr. Sandy Matheson. Today's topic is hallucinations. Here we ask, what are hallucinations? Who experiences them? How do they feel from first-person accounts? What causes them, and how to treat them if they need treating? I'll start with a quote by the late neurologist Oliver Sacks, who said, "Hallucinations appear and disappear as they please, not as you please." We are fascinated by what the brain is capable of, and this is evident in how much hallucinatory experiences feature in popular culture. Probably one of the most famous depictions of hallucinations comes from the movie A Beautiful Mind, where Russell Crowe plays the brilliant mathematician John Nash. Dr. Nash experienced auditory and visual hallucinations while he was a teacher at university. He becomes obsessed with a delusion that he is employed by the US Department of Defense to look for hidden patterns in magazines and newspapers in order to thwart a Soviet plot. He was later diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and when treated with antipsychotics, his condition improved. In fact, he won a Nobel Prize in 1994 for his contribution to game theory. So let's start with how hallucinations are defined. Hallucinations are defined as perceptual experiences that occur in any of the five senses in the absence of corresponding external stimuli. They occur in a wakeful state, so they're very different to dreams. They mimic perceptions in every way, so have a compelling sense of reality. They are different to illusions, which are misinterpretations of real external stimuli. Anyone can experience them, and they're not always distressful or associated with having a mental illness. For example, 4 to 7% of the general population report transitory hallucinations, mainly visual. Also, some physical disorders, such as macular degeneration and Parkinson's disease, can involve visual hallucinations, which are not always distressful. So having the occasional hallucination, particularly if not distressful or interrupting any functioning, doesn't necessarily mean one has a mental illness. But they can be very distressful and they can severely affect a person's functioning. For example, for a diagnosis of schizophrenia, at least 2 symptoms of delusions, hallucinations, or disorganized speech and behavior need to be present for at least 6 months. And there also needs to be significant social and occupational dysfunction. Around 60 to 70% of people with schizophrenia report having auditory hallucinations, and around 28% of people with bipolar 1 disorder report auditory hallucinations. Sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference between schizophrenia and bipolar 1 disorder. However, bipolar disorder is marked by severe mood swings between depression and mania, while schizophrenia is marked by hallucinations, delusions, and disorganized speech and behavior. There are also negative symptoms associated with schizophrenia, such as diminished emotional expression, poverty of speech, and lack of purposeful action. Also, bipolar 1 disorder is distinct from bipolar 2 disorder in that it involves full-blown mania episodes which can have psychotic features like hallucinations, while bipolar 2 disorder involves milder manic episodes without psychotic features. So what do auditory hallucinations feel like? People report that voices can originate either from inside the head or in external space. They are typically experienced as a real person or persons speaking with distinct perceptual qualities like accent and balance. Sometimes people believe a broadcasting device is implanted in their bodies. That's how real it feels. They often cite a religious or supernatural explanation given religion's central cultural role in society. People also experience feeling victimized and powerless. They say that voice is perceived as personally meaningful or wanting to harm the person, and those that are intrusive, powerful, and unable to be controlled are associated with the most distress. People experiencing powerful hallucinations have reported similar feelings of powerlessness in their social relationships. Put another way, the voices make them feel similarly to how they feel in their personal relationships, where they feel powerless. Similarly, research has shown that there's an increased risk of psychosis and relapse to a psychotic episode in families that display high levels of expressed emotion, in particular negative comments and criticisms. This could increase feelings of powerlessness and perhaps encourage that type of auditory hallucination. So I'll read you a first-person account of an auditory hallucination reported in the scientific journal Schizophrenia Bulletin in 2016. Even though I take my medication regularly, I still hear some voices, but they are worse without my medication. A voice told me I was a champion boxer, which put me on the losing end of a fight with a Golden Gloves champion. I was not on my medication and actually thought I was a trained boxer. Another voice that I hear is like commentary of what I am doing. This voice is heard like a conversation in front of me, only I am alone. Sometimes I hear voices at night telling me that there is someone outside my front door, or there is someone messing with my car in the parking lot. When this happens, I've learnt to check the evidence to reassure myself that there was no one there. Sometimes there's a voice telling me that my neighbours are talking about me. I have to work at not isolating myself by telling myself it's just a voice in my head, it's not real. Most of the time I can manage the voices by engaging in something else to do, such as going for a walk. I've also learnt that if the voices are getting really negative, I can call someone in my support system, perhaps my parents, and talk to them about what the voices are saying. My parents can help me think through the lack of evidence for their reality. These sorts of auditory hallucinations are quite common in people with schizophrenia. However, visual hallucinations are less common. Around 25% of people report having visual hallucinations compared to 60 to 70% for auditory hallucinations. And around 15% of people with bipolar disorder report visual hallucinations compared to 28% reporting auditory hallucinations. The majority of visual hallucinations and psychosis occur in combination with another sensory modality, in contrast to auditory hallucinations, which tend to occur independently. A lack of control over the content and appearance is a prominent feature of visual hallucinations. Individuals are surprised when they occur and are generally helpless to change or stop them. They usually have the same physical properties of real perceptions, although hallucinations of miniatures have been reported. Common distressing themes include bugs, dogs, snakes, distorted faces. But there are also non-distressing themes like God, angels, saints, and fairies. However, images of powerful religious figures can be perceived as a sign for the person to act or as a threat to their physical or psychological well-being. This can impact on the individual's belief system and can be used as evidence for any delusional beliefs. So the following is a case study of a woman with a psychotic disorder reporting her visual hallucinations. This case study was published in the African Journal of Psychiatry in 2012. 1 year after the onset of psychotic symptoms, including auditory hallucinations of commenting and commanding type, bizarre delusions and marked psychosocial dysfunction, a 45-year-old housewife started experiencing visual hallucinations, characterised by seeing miniatures of animals of a few cubic centimetres. She would see the miniatures of snakes, dogs and pigs embedded in food and in the external objective space. The miniatures would resemble the real animals in their appearance and movement. These animals would also climb on her body, especially her forehead, from where she would try to remove them. As the animals would be mostly inside her food, at times she would experience the sensation of chewing them and consequently would spit out her food. She would also feel that the miniature creatures were crawling through her body and sometimes exiting her body through her abdomen. As a result of these symptoms, she reduced her food intake significantly. So, as you can see, they can be very extremely distressing. So these particular miniature hallucinations are called Lilliputian. The small images are usually described as brightly coloured mobile creatures. These creatures differ across individuals and tend to be culturally appropriate. The cause of them is not clear, but the phenomenon is more commonly reported after damage to the visual cortex than is in psychosis, although the woman in the case study showed no brain or visual damage and was later diagnosed with schizophrenia. So visual hallucinations occurring after damage to the visual cortex are known as child Bonnet syndrome. They are caused by spikes in brain activity in the visual cortex of patients with vision loss, usually due to macular degeneration. These hallucinations tend to be vivid and complex, like the one in the case study, but unlike that woman who had schizophrenia, hallucinations in Charles Bonnet syndrome are generally perceived not to be real and therefore are not so distressful. In psychosis, there is often a lack of insight into having a psychotic disorder, and this contributes to distress about the experiences. So this is a case study of visual hallucinations from someone with Charles Bonnet syndrome. It was published in the Sri Lankan Journal of Psychiatry in 2017. A 72-year-old female was brought to the psychiatry clinic by her sister, who was concerned about her sister's recent behaviour. According to her sister, she was living alone at home, but she had prepared and laid out lunch for two people at her own home where she lived by herself. She has done this for three consecutive days, despite the fact that there was nobody else there. When questioned, she had replied that she had prepared the meals for the previous president of Sri Lanka and his wife, whom she had seen in her garden for the past 3 days. She was hoping they would join her for lunch, and she was wondering why they declined to do so. She reported, apart from the past president and his wife, she had had several visitors in her home over the past 2 months. She had seen several young children playing in her back garden and a young woman who she had seen seated in her living room reading a book. She was not alarmed by the presence of these strangers in her home, although she did wonder whether they were real. She was not distressed by these experiences, and her biological functions were unaffected. She received a diagnosis of Charles Bonnet syndrome and was treated successfully with low-dose olanzapine, which is actually an antipsychotic, as well as follow-up with an eye specialist. She did not have a history suggestive of mood disorder or dementia. So they checked her for dementia because visual hallucinations have also been reported in people with dementia. Theirs tend to be of mundane content, including unfamiliar or small figures, faces, animals or objects, and they are rarely distressing as they are usually perceived to be non-threatening. Visual hallucinations have also been reported in people with Parkinson's disease. These consist mostly of people, animals and objects, which may appear briefly and appear to be moving sideways. These are called passage hallucinations. The content is usually fairly repetitive but may last for hours. While they too appear to be real and are outside voluntary control, they are not usually perceived as frightening due to the person's ability to understand they are a symptom of Parkinson's disease. And visual hallucinations can be induced by substances, and the effects reverse with discontinuation. The substances include LSD, amphetamines, cocaine, ecstasy, as well as cannabis. Quoting Oliver Sacks again, he stated that he himself concocted what he called a pharmacological launch pad with a base of amphetamine, a little LSD and a sprinkle of cannabis to induce in himself a visual hallucination of the colour indigo, which he said he'd never seen before. Apparently it worked, but he said, don't try it at home. He said his motivation was that indigo was inserted into the colour spectrum and no one could agree exactly on its colour. He said when he was, to quote, pickled enough, he said, I'm ready to see indigo now, and a blob of indigo appeared on the wall. He thought it was the colour of heaven, but when he went to touch it, it vanished. So he was able to induce this. He experienced again spontaneously, not induced by drugs, years later in New York in a museum. But on visiting the museum again, he said it was just the colour blue. Finally, extremely stressful situations can also induce visual hallucinations. Indeed, among the dying, prevalence is estimated to be as high as 50%. there are such things called hypnagogic hallucinations, which are usually visual but also can be auditory, like hearing loud bangs. These are quite common and they do occur while falling asleep. And hypnopompic hallucinations can occur while waking up. These are common in the general population, with prevalence estimates of 37% while falling asleep and 12.5% while waking up. And these two can be induced by stress. So we'll talk now about hallucinations occurring in other sensory modalities than auditory and visual. Olfactory and gustatory hallucinations involve the senses of smell and taste. These are particularly dangerous if a person believes they're being poisoned and refrains from eating. For example, this is a case study published in the International Journal of Nutrition, Pharmacology and Neurological Diseases in 2016. A 60-year-old homemaker was hospitalised with acute onset of suspiciousness, irritability, reduced sleep and active refusal of water and food for 1 month. She reported that food and water smelt like diesel and so they were contaminated. She would not eat or drink or wash herself. The patient had persecutory delusions about her family members and held them responsible for contaminating the water with diesel. Tactile hallucinations are feelings of movement or sensation on your body that are not actually present, such as having hands on your body or insects crawling around or inside you. A fairly distressing example is a case study published in the Canadian Journal of Psychiatry in 1990. So the patient was admitted to the state hospital 7 months earlier after he had jumped off a bridge because he thought he felt a huge spider crawling on his back. While in hospital, he said he had sensations that spiders were crawling all through his heart and vessels, eating his brain, and although he could not see them, he thought he could feel them crawling on his skin, especially on the right side of his body. Finally, multimodal hallucinations are about twice as common as unimodal ones in people with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. These types of hallucinations obviously would have a greater impact on the individual than unimodal ones. So the following is a case study of someone experiencing hallucinations in multiple modalities, and that was published in the Indian Journal of Psychological Medicine. A 23-year-old male presented with a continuous illness of 8 years suggestive of treatment-resistant schizophrenia. He had multiple first-rank symptoms and hallucinations in different modalities. One of the hallucinatory experiences was the presence of a simultaneous auditory and visual hallucination. He could see a doll-like figure of a human being in clear consciousness in addition to his immediate surroundings. He could visualise the doll-like figure as vividly as other real objects and could see the movements of its different body parts as well. At the same time, he would hear commanding verbal auditory hallucinations from that source with synchronised lip movements. These verbal auditory hallucinations would threaten him of adverse consequences if he did not follow the instructions. He had these experiences every day for 6 years and had acted out on these voices. He had attempted suicide 3 times and homicide once over the last 6 years under the influence of these hallucinations. So that's pretty extreme. And also just to note that while the suicide rate is higher in people with psychosis than in the general population, the rate of violence is quite similar and usually is associated with other factors that are independently associated with violence, such as substance use. So what causes hallucinations? Well, there's still so much to learn. There's several theories. Firstly, functional MRI studies have found that the same brain regions are activated during hallucinations as those that are activated during normal perception. For example, auditory hallucinations activate the auditory cortex and visual hallucinations activate the visual cortex and come down to specific areas that relate to text, music, faces, etc. Neural models suggest there's altered connectivity between and within brain regions, which could be responsible for altered functional integration of perceptions. Cognitive models suggest an individual may misattribute some internal stimuli, such as unwanted intrusive thoughts, to an external source. There may also be dysfunctional processing of perceptual details, contextual information, memory and reasoning that are involved in the identification of the source of mental events. Other theories suggest there must be a mode of consciousness quite beyond everyday consciousness, imagination or dreams, that is almost identical to normal perception. In fact, the philosopher William James suggests that there are many forms of consciousness. And finally, this one's a bit out there, some theorists suggest possible explanations from quantum physics. This explanation is popular in fictional stories, saying that if we live in a multiverse, which is an infinite set of all possible universes, we would naturally find ourselves in the corner of it that allows for normal perceptions and interactions so that we can function in our society. But what if we find ourselves slipping into another parallel universe, if they are true? However, for most people, antipsychotics reduce the severity and frequency of all types of hallucinations, and as they work on neurotransmitter levels, it makes sense that hallucinations are caused by neurotransmitter imbalances, which could result in disconnectivity between brain regions and dysfunctional processing of perceptual details. And while antipsychotics are the first line of treatment, they can involve side effects such as weight gain and movement disorders, particularly restlessness. These side effects vary between people and depend on the type of antipsychotic use, so treatment often involves a process of trial and error to find one that suits the person best. Cognitive behavioural therapy, or CBT, also works, particularly in combination with antipsychotics. Studies have found that individually tailored CBT is effective for reducing the severity and frequency of hallucinations. CBT encourages people to correct misperceptions, evaluate beliefs, and challenge the underlying habitual thought patterns that led to distress and worsening of symptoms. Also, brain stimulation techniques have been evaluated for treating hallucinations, particularly auditory hallucinations, and when antipsychotics are not working sufficiently. Repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, is a non-invasive method that uses magnetic coils held over the scalp to stimulate nerve cells in superficial layers of the brain. It modulates neural functioning by altering the brain's magnetic fields to induce a local electric current in a desired area. Generally, low-frequency stimulation can reduce brain activity in that area, and high-frequency stimulation can increase brain activity in that area. For hallucinations, the TMS is directed at specific locations that show maximal hallucinatory activity, and the locations can be tailored specifically for individuals if they've previously had a functional MRI scan while they are undergoing and hallucination. And then the regions that are activated are targeted with TMS to reduce the activity. For example, the left temporoparietal junction is often targeted, as this area contains prominent anatomical structures that are involved in language, cognition, processing, and comprehension. Many studies have found it effective for people with schizophrenia for reducing the frequency and severity of their auditory hallucinations. However, most studies have only found short-term effects up to 1 month, which indicates regular doses are needed. It also can improve depression in people with bipolar disorder. And the side effects are fairly minimal and usually involved only a mild headache. Some people do report more severe headache, but that's very few. Another brain stimulation method is similar to TMS, but it's called transcranial direct current stimulation. So it uses low-intensity, constant current application through scalp electrodes rather than magnets. Some, but not all, studies have found it effective for auditory hallucination, and the most common side effect was itching under the electrode site. Finally, electroconvulsive therapy, or ECT, has been investigated as a treatment for hallucinations. It is considered a last resort for treatment-resistant psychosis, as memory loss is a significant side effect. It has been an effective treatment for severe depression. The treatment is done under general anaesthetic and delivers small electrical impulses to the brain to induce a brief seizure. Although some studies have shown an overall clinical improvement following ECT, that's for schizophrenia, a specific reduction in hallucination severity has not been demonstrated in the current research. So overall, the outlook is looking pretty good for people who experience distressing hallucinations. There is treatment there and a few different treatment options. So if you're experiencing these symptoms, please speak to your doctor. For more information on anything that's contained in this podcast, you could visit the library at Neura, and that's library.neura.edu.au. Thank you.